Session number 16630, Marguerite Patton, Reel 5.
Patton, Reel 5. I found it fascinating when I came into the Imperial War Museum to give my first demonstration that I was demonstrating between the tanks and the guns inside. In fact, I put some of my trays on one of the tanks, you know, to be out of the way as I cooked. And it was really interesting to find how fascinated people were with those years. I've just been asked about 1995, the 50 years. But even before that time, following the later 80s, when We'll Eat Again came out, I did enjoy demonstrating people. And when they tasted the food, because they always tasted afterwards at the Imperial War Museum, they said, oh, it's far better than I thought it was. I think that comes as quite a surprise. I don't know how they thought we'd manage for all those years with stuff that was inedible, but we did our best to make it interesting. And it is, it's plainer, it's less sweet, it's less fat, but it's still some of it really very, very fascinating. And of course, the Imperial War Museum have a lot of visitors from abroad, and they were very fascinated by our British rations. I also found myself sympathising with the Americans and the Australians who had rationing. When I heard what their rationing was, I had a job to keep a straight face. I said, oh dear, that must have been difficult for you. But I thought, oh dear, how we could have done with that. But it wasn't fair because they were most generous. They sent a tremendous amount of food to Britain. So I did express our gratitude to them. But going on to last year, yes, it was an exciting year. I had the Victory Cookbook, and just like We'll Eat Again, the launch of that was at the Imperial War Museum, and the food we had was based on Spam, a real wartime memory. If you don't know what Spam is, you can still buy it today and try it, and then you can take yourself back to the war. But don't eat the whole tin too quickly if you're imagining in wartime, because probably we'd use half a tin for one meal in a batter, like Toad in the Hole. We'd have coated slices of the other and fried it in if we got a scrap of fat and had it as Spam fritters. So that was the launch of the Victory Cookbook. I loved doing that book, because it brought back such startling memories. Where were you in wartime, people said? In wartime, well, I've told you that. Where were you on V-Day? Where was I? In the right and proper place outside Buckingham Palace. My sister was still at college, and they'd been given a day off, and Harrods were closed. And my mother said, well, aren't you two girls? You're still girls to your mother, however old you may be. Aren't you two girls going to London? No, we said. My mother was shocked. I'll look after the baby. She said, you'll regret it if you don't go. So off we went up to London. And when you see the crowds in front of Buckingham Palace, you can't hear the cheering. You can't necessarily know the tears that were shed, but tears of joy on that occasion, and how total strangers kissed each other. You know, we're supposed to be rather sort of stayed, the British nation, but we weren't stayed that night. BJ Day was slightly quieter, but from our family, it was a very important year for us, or at the end of an important year, because my brother was in the Pacific. Funnily enough, he was just loading, he tells me since, on VJ Day, armaments from Australia to take to the theatre of war then, so that was a blessing for him. He'd had an exciting war, being chased by Japanese submarines, losing a ship, etc. So we had two family celebrations, but of course we all celebrated for all people. We knew it was wonderful to go to bed at night without half listening. I think we all developed that sort of a listening technique. In Barnet, it was really rather helpful. Mother and I evolved a special technique. The moment the London air raid went, because we were on the fringe of that, we used to get up. And we used to be all ready. We had a shelter a mother had built in the garden. But we waited for the Hertfordshire one to pick up my young daughter. And then we all went in the shelter. And really, we got our shelter quite comfortable. We had a heater in there, and the kettle would go on the top of the heater, ready to make a cup of tea, and we used to settle down. We were lucky in Barnet, except with the flying bombs. And there again we were lucky, because they sort of went at a complete right angle to our house, and we used to watch them going down the road and know that, fortunately, because we were on the edge of the green belt, that they would fall in a field and do no harm to anybody. So we saw those at first hand.
Were you ever, did you ever have to interrupt your demonstrations because of raids? I was wondering, say, in Harrods,
yes, do you know, it's strange. I can't remember that we ever did. There must have been, no, I can't remember. As I say, I was the end of 43, beginning of 44, so it was 44. You see, I was at Harrods right to the early 50s, but there was 44 war, and there was part of 45 war. So, no, there wasn't. But what did happen during those last part of the war were the terrible rockets. And those, I think, were getting all of us very jittery, because it's very difficult, even for those who knew about them during the war, to realise that a thing was in the air, fell, demolished, and then you heard it. You see, it was so fast. It wasn't like the flying bombs. You could see them, you could hear them. As I say, we used to watch them going down the road at right angles to our house in Barnet and say, well, go on, you land in a field. But the rockets were terrifying because they fell and nobody could hear them coming. And that did frighten me. You know, and when the rumour used to go round Harrods, because even in a vast place like that, you know, news travels fast. There was a rocket in North London. I couldn't get to a phone fast enough, you know, to find out about it. Those were very alarming. No, I must have been very lucky. In the days before I was at Harrods, I had to travel home, you know, when a raid had been on. And those were the things that slightly made me worried and made me want to be at home in the evening.
And finally, I must ask you this question. What did Harrods Food Hall look like during the war?
Do you know, very similar to the food hall of today. If you go in the food hall and you approach it from, how can I guide you, from the green grocery, and you come up that hall, on your left will be the poultry and the fish, and on your right will be the meat. And at the top is a part which is now a delicatessen snack bar. Well, that was me. And before it was the delicatessen snack bar, it had been turned over to bacon and ham. And I used to always buy my bacon there, just sentimentally, to go and have a look at my old home. In my day, I had a refrigerator there, a sink, and the shelves with bottled fruit on. And then I had a little platform and the counter where I used to arrange things. And Harrods had very kindly given me an assistant, I suppose you could almost call her a maid, you know, who cleared up. Dear, her name was Miss Gold, and she was worth her weight in gold. She was a lovely, lovely lady. I don't know what came over me. I bought my pound or whatever it was of bacon one day. And I said to the girl serving me, this was 2 or 3 years ago, you know, this used to be my home. She looked at me and I said, yes, the cooker was there and the fridge was there. And her look of horror, I knew what she went home and said, I met a mad woman today in Harrods. And she was telling me this was her home. So I thought, now you better keep quiet, Marguerite. But they were very, very happy years then. And it was wonderful, you know, to be able to take the audience through the beginning of more food, because you got terribly fond of people there. You could tell by their faces if the news was good or bad in their family. You know, a number of times, you know, I've had to hear very sad stories as well as give recipes as well. So it was a very special sort of time, and it was a wonderful experience. I'm extremely grateful to the Imperial War Museum and to Hamlin's, my publishers, for asking me to recall those years. I went back for the evening of the evacuees, So all the news of war and all the things that happen are still very much in the public's mind. I hope they'll remember and give older people a pat on the back and say you did do well, because I think we did do well.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Marguerite Patton. Thank you.
No, a pleasure.